We'll have conversations today with Michelle Raywinkle Basilinda and Michael Phillips from prior conversations going back a few years. Michelle will talk with us about presidential politics and her own political career, and Michael Phillips talking about Frenchtown Financial Opportunity Center in the Frenchtown community. You stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax, and it's done.
In 1945, Jack Widen started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom-cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Widen because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Widen Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Widen wanted, and it's been the Widen way of doing business for over 70 years. Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Widen Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or widenglass.com.
Here we are again, my friend, and a pleasure to have you on board, as always. However you may be listening, if you are listening at 93.3 FM in Tallahassee, we are pleased to be a part of their lineup of local programming. John Jopling and I often talk about our particular broadcast and how unique it is in their lineup of weekly broadcasts and daily broadcasts, in as much as we come to you with a sort of apolitical stand or standpoint, because I figure, you know, regardless of wherever you may be on that political spectrum, there's certainly an abundance of opinion on just about every topic out there in regard to our national and local politics. When it occurs, it will be when we have somebody like Michelle Raywinkle Basilinda, a good friend of the show. And this happens to come at a time back in 2016 when she had made some rather decisive and remarkable decisions about her own career, having served the state of Florida admirably for two terms of office. You know, she was state House of Representatives for Florida, representing District 9 for those 8 years. Again, two terms of office. So she termed out, as is often said, the common parlance. And at that point, kind of looking at her options, well, one of her decisions at that point was to go away from her Democrat Party affiliation, declared herself as independent, and then sometime later aligned herself with the Republican Party. In fact, she was one of the speakers when President Trump made his appearance in Tallahassee during the campaign of 2015. Which, of course, did not endear her any further with her Democrat Party colleagues. And so there was some, you know, social media stuff going on there. But she prevailed in her determination to do what she does, and that is to speak her own mind and kind of follow the beat of her drum. These days, she's been called upon many times to provide her perspective as a sort of pundit in various radio talk shows around the area and around the country, for that matter. But we thought it would be appropriate and certainly timely in that her topic at the time that we were talking with her back then had to do with presidential politics. And aren't we just in the throes of all of that of late? And, you know, the beat goes on, including this now filed impeachment of President Trump. And we'll see how that plays out. But I think the remarks that she made then have some relevance, and she gives us a perspective on why it was that she became a little bit disenfranchised, particularly in relation to this, we'll call it party politics, but the thrust of where one party, either party, puts its own priorities first and says, look, your job here is to serve party interests, in her words. And that just rubbed her the wrong way. Well, okay, so she, as a Republican then, I would wager to say, was probably going to find pretty much the same dynamics going on. If we know anything about political parties, I mean, am I wrong here? They look out for their own interests, first and foremost. It's kind of, you know, how it rolls. But so many people, it seems, have become a bit dissatisfied with party politics, we'll call it. And she was one of those people then, and we may find out that that remains. But again, we're going to take a listen to this conversation back in 2016, and we will we'll get to that here in the second hour of today's broadcast. Prior to that, Michael Phillips was at the time the vice president of administration for FSU Credit Union. He has since moved on. But at the time that we had him on the show those days, we were talking with him at length about the Frenchtown Financial Opportunity Center, which is still in operation and has for its intent been a part of this revitalization, maybe even a repurposing of the Frenchtown community. And it's timely, I think, in regard to what we see Frenchtown Heritage Hub and the farmers market folks doing, Jim Bellamy and all of his team. You know, he's the executive director for the Frenchtown Neighborhood Improvement Association. And earlier, late last year, back in October, I believe, USDA grant came through for them to expand, promote, and further develop their Frenchtown Farmers Market. And this particular program of the USDA is aimed directly at farmers markets around the country. So in applying for the grant, they won the bid, and the money has been allocated, and over the next remaining 36 months, the remaining number of months ahead, they will be hard at work to try to make that Frenchtown farmers market even more better than it has been. It has been a great contribution to the Frenchtown community and to Tallahassee at large. We would be amiss if I didn't include the notion that their kitchen share program, which is a commercial grade, a commercially certified kitchen facility, enables people to come in there and get training or to prepare products that are approved for distribution in grocery stores and elsewhere. And that's a remarkable part of their whole program to begin with. Chef Shack has been a part of that. A good example of somebody who provided not only some leadership, but even honed some of her skills. So it goes that we're going to focus on this Frenchtown Financial Opportunity Center as another part of this larger perspective that what at one time was a thriving community, Frenchtown is in recovery. And the question remains for those who are Frenchtown residents, and really for all of us, what does that future look like in terms of the character, the composition of this Frenchtown community? It's been said, and I would agree with the statement, that if you really want to understand Tallahassee, especially Tallahassee's history, you really have to know Frenchtown history. You have to know where it was, why it was created, and what a economic engine it was for many, many decades. And it wasn't until desegregation and the repositioning, assignment of Lincoln High School, relocation of Lincoln High School, that the community really began to falter, because that high school itself was such a contribution. Anyway, folks, this is what we're going to do today, and I appreciate you staying with me. We'll be back right after this.
Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
In 1954, a group of individuals associated with Florida State University formed a credit union, and as they did so, they laid the groundwork for an organization that in its history has been known as the FSU Credit Union. It has continued to progress and evolve and change and adapt as it's gone forward in offering a wider range of services and looking for opportunities to embrace even a wider group of members. What originally was intended for FSU related staff and, you know, faculty and students later became available to a much larger group of people that encompasses a lot of folks who happen to live in Leon County and thereabouts. And so here we have FSU Credit Union now engaged in an operation, a program, an initiative that has been identified as the Frenchtown Financial Opportunity Center. And I've asked our friend Michael Phillips, who is Vice President of Administration for FSU Credit Union, to join us. Good morning, Mr. Phillips.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
I'm pleased that you have made it possible for us to have conversation, given that there's probably a bit of work waiting for you back there at the at the stable, where you got chickens to feed and cows to milk and all that kind of thing, right?
There is, but this is really good stuff. It's important to talk about.
Well, appreciate the opportunity. Yeah. We've found ourselves in the middle of this conversation here about a month ago. Mm-hmm. Because we keep hearing more and more about this organization, FSU Credit Union, and this initiative, the Financial Opportunity Center, and other works being done in and around Frenchtown. Mm-hmm. Michelle Gomez has been popping up on our daytimer and has worked this whole food-based incubator thing, and we're getting to know her better. In fact, I've got Michelle scheduled to be with me here in a few weeks, I think about the middle of November. Mm-hmm. For me, the topic is rich with all kinds of interesting questions about how organizations come together to make things work better in ways that are more effective, more efficient, more productive. And now this effort, the Financial Opportunity Center, came about only recently. So it looks like you had a soft opening back there in June. But here we are in October. So then you had your ribbon cutting in July. You guys are pedal to the metal at this point. I mean, it's all working.
It is. It is. We're open and we're fully functional. It's been a good experience so far. We have great expectations there, but it's not without a lot of effort. Really wouldn't have come together without Bethel Missionary Baptist on Tennessee Street. I mean, it was really their vision that many years ago to serve the Frenchtown community with financial services. And they were really tempted to try to put something together themselves. Eventually looked for some outside partners to come in and join in their mission to serve the community. And so we and Envision Credit Union had this remarkable opportunity to come in and work with the church to put this whole concept together and bring it about and make it reality. So it's been a lot of effort. The opportunity was because of Bethel. But then beyond that, it's the heart and the desire of the two credit unions here, FSU Credit Union and Vision, that really wanted to put into practice and have, but really wanted to put it into practice as people helping people, this credit union movement, in a new way. And so coming together at this particular location at this time was unique. It can be replicated, but tremendous possibilities are here. You know, it's been interesting.
It has been interesting, and I think it's interesting at a number of levels. I think that it begs the question how two credit unions would find collaboration over competition to be the avenue of choice. How did that come about? I mean, you guys had to kind of lay down your arms and shake hands, didn't you?
Yeah, and credit unions are uniquely, I think, disposed to being able to do that. The real purpose is really people helping people. When people understand that credit unions are financial cooperatives, all of the members own the credit union. And when we're about really serving people in the community, and you get that focus in front of you, it brings about unity that gives you this chance to work together to bring that to fruition. So that kind of unity, that common purpose of helping others, brought this collaborative effort together to just go and be and serve the Frenchtown community.
And those services, you're talking about the role that Bethel played at a seminal level. I mean, the vision started there, I guess, with Reverend Holmes.
Absolutely.
And what an individual he is.
Yeah.
Who I mean, along with whomever are part of his team, that guy has made some significant contributions to this.
No doubt. I mean, I have at the grand opening in July, we had a chance to really talk with members of the church and people in the community there. But some of the discussion points during that grand opening that were just going on at a personal level were things like, what if Bethel had never existed? Huh. Think of the impact the Frenchtown community, because they have existed.
Yes.
What would things be like if they never had?
Yeah.
And so that's in and of itself a great study to look at. But this was just one of the many visions that they had for the community, and they were very passionate about bringing it about. And we shared in their vision, and it was a great opportunity. So,
talking with Michael Phillips, he's the vice president of administration for Florida State University Credit Union, or should I just say FSU Credit Union? And he is our guest today as we're talking about the Frenchtown Financial Opportunity Center. You stay with me. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're back and we're talking with Michael Phillips. This little thing that they cooked up, they call it Frenchtown Financial Opportunity Center, is our topic as we consider how two credit unions, FSU Credit Union and Vision Credit Union, locked arms and had this triad relationship then with Bethel Missionary Baptist Church under the leadership of R.B. Holmes. So apparently the vision started there with him. He reached out to Keith Bowers, who is with SBA, right? Small Business Administration there at FAM, FAMU.
Yeah.
Keith gets engaged in it and begins to help you all come together. And so he might be considered sort of the architect, I guess, or certainly one of the drivers.
Timing is everything. Keith, with this Small Business Economic Center there, was at the Jim Rand Institute and happened to have an encounter with Chuck Adcock of the FSU Credit Union. And the two of them were talking about who they were, what they were doing, what opportunities there were in front of one another. And Keith brought this whole opportunity before Chuck. And Chuck said, it was interesting. It's kind of neat when you have some of your own ideas and you have some things that you like to do, but then all of a sudden the opportunity presents itself.
Right.
And you've got to respond to it. You've got to act to it so that you don't have a missed opportunity and then have regrets later on. So
right.
I remember when Chuck brought this to the management team and later to the board, as did Daryl Worrell at Envision Credit Union and his board. But the discussions, were the enthusiasm in the discussions was immediate. Everybody was really thinking, this is cool. This is great. How can we pull this off?
What was it about it initially that was so cool?
Well, it's really and truly the mission has been at the credit union of FSU Credit Union. The tagline is maximizing members' financial well-being. And in a credit union that's growing, we're not losing that focus. The focus is staying very much so at maximizing members' financial well-being.
Kind of
at the ground level. It's a ground level, grassroots kind of thing.
I got you.
And seeing that there was a need in the Frenchtown community and us believing from the outside that we might be able to bring about some effective change there, it was like this is a chance to kind of put things into action that we talk about.
Yeah, and so this wasn't you having to go outside of your manifesto, your mission statement.
Yeah.
This is your mission.
It is.
It's an extension of that same mission. So you're just right in the flow of that.
It is. Yeah. That's right. And it's...
But on this occasion, then, you find yourself with an opportunity to build this bridge or a partnership, I guess, among the three entities. That in and of itself fascinates me because I've noticed over the years in this town, competition oftentimes, though it has its own virtue, can get in the way of innovation or it can get in the way of productivity. So I'm you know, I'm appreciative of how competition is intended in a free market, right, to bring us the best. And yet in this situation, you said, well, these are ideas that we have in common. So it doesn't keep us from being friendly competitors, we'll say, in a market for credit union members. It, in fact, is a sort of extension of our own abilities. And so it sort of serves both endeavors at the same time. You're trying to carry out your mission. At the same time, you're trying to grow your organization. You did both of those things, or are doing both of those things.
And you know, when you're outside looking in, you only have an opportunity to assume what you know. You may have certain impressions and understandings that of what you can do and what most benefit you can have if you do certain things. But when you're within the community, you have a whole new perspective. And so, you know, lasting change is really something that is from the inside out.
Have you had people say to you, Michael, how did you guys come up with this idea? I mean, what has been the response among your connections and colleagues? And
well, I think the response that everybody has right off the bat is we give the credit to the church to have the vision. They really were the impetus behind all of this, and we, because we had that common sense of purpose and unity that was coupled then with an opportunity that they provided, we were able to put this into place. And so we brought our resources in, our own operational resources, you know, the financial resources to come in and help have an operating branch where you can come in and have full services of financial transactions and loans of that matter. We came in behind their vision, and that's really the church that started that. But it fit. It's kind of like it was a great fit because it was a you know, it was a glove that fit.
Right.
It was one that really was one that seemed to be made for us. And so it came together without great effort. And it wasn't a struggle. The boards were good with it. They were ready to move forward.
So was it part of the discussion then at the beginning that this would be aimed at achieving social change of some kind? Was that part of the discussion, that you were interested in trying to reset or helped shape the Frenchtown community?
I mean, in terms of that kind of change, we understand that an underserved community can get into a very vicious cycle that is offered to them through things like payday lending, where they're upwards of 200% loans. Very difficult to break from that cycle. It's very tragic to see that going on in your own community. You know, the Tallahassee community includes the Frenchtown community, so you can't assume that they aren't a part of all this. So when you're thinking about where is an underserved part of the Tallahassee community, you several would say, well, look at the Frenchtown community, for example. What can be done there? And you see that many are stuck in this kind of cycle that you feel very passionate about helping them get out of. And so this was this is a chance. It's ongoing. It has started.
Right.
And people are breaking from that cycle, and it's really cool to see the smiles on the faces of people who are being served, because it's bringing about a whole new sense of pride in themselves, in their community, and a sense of ownership in the community. So it's really good. So we do think that there it's not a quick fix.
Right.
It's about longevity, and it's about building trust. So if we stick there, and we prove to be who we say we are, which takes time to do that, the community will start shaping in new ways that may not have been available to them before.
Well, and you've dubbed it the Frenchtown Financial Opportunity Center, mm-hmm. which sort of betrays the intention, mm-hmm. doesn't it, mm-hmm. in its name, because it's saying there's opportunity here for you. And so we're going to dig in a little further as we continue in conversation here with our new friend, Michael Phillips, Vice President of Administration, FSU Credit Union. The Frenchtown Financial Opportunity Center and what it's representing not only to this community, we affectionately refer to as Frenchtown and all of its history, but as well for all of us who consider ourselves part of this Tallahassee community, which, by the way, here's my editorial comment, I think is larger than a few zip codes. I think it actually is mm-hmm. more like five or six counties when you want to look at the real Tallahassee. Folks, you stay with me. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We'll be right back.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out, her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. And I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Hello, brothers and sisters in Radio Land. This is blues guitarist Jerry Thigpen. Don't you move, because this is Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So once again, we have the opportunity to look at this fair city of ours and ask, what makes Tallahassee different? Here we are in 2016, in which we've discovered this remarkable, in my mind, it's a remarkable creation, Frenchtown Financial Opportunity Center. We've got Michael Phillips here with us. He's with FSU Credit Union, has been for almost a decade now. He was much younger when he started.
Much less wiser.
Well, and he serves them as their vice president of administration. So he speaks with authority when he talks about what it took and what it's taking to bring this about. And it turns out that it was this collaborative, cooperative effort between two credit unions, Envision Credit Union, FSU Credit Union, and the inspiration coming from, remarkably, and so I want to say it's almost poetic that a church brings the vision, the spark, no less Bethel Missionary Baptist Church, which, I mean, this is almost Shakespearean because it points to where we draw inspiration, any of us, mm-hmm. how we find our roots, how we find our connectedness. And here we have a church. If church doesn't do anything else for us, would it not be that it would inspire us to do greater things mm-hmm. for ourselves and for one another? So God bless you all there at Bethel for your determination to be what you are. Mm-hmm. And God bless FSU Credit Union and Envision Credit Union for hearing that thought, for embracing that thought, and then putting legs to it. And those legs have all kinds of implications. Because as I understand it, Michael, this is an opportunity center. It means that I can have an ATM card, right?
Right.
And I can use that ATM card anywhere in the country, and it is void of any charges. Is that how that works?
Yeah. Using the network that's provided there for those ATM cards, there are thousands of surcharge-free locations where you could go and use your card and do transactions on your account. Very unlike what many folks are used to in the Frenchtown community now, mm-hmm. where they have prepaid ATM cards, and there's a stiff fee up front to get the card, and then there's a hefty fee per each transaction. So discovering that there are ATMs that do not cost you anything up front and do not cost you anything by transaction is good news. So it's some more good news that people are beginning to understand. Mm-hmm. And it's great to see that, you know, when you see somebody's mm-hmm. eyes light up that, really? There are no fees associated with this? You got to be kidding me.
Which I've heard some people say is the poor man's tax. You know, it's what happens when you aren't able to keep enough in your checking account. And so you pay the NSF fee, you pay the additional monthly fees that somebody who doesn't struggle with income is able to avoid.
Right.
So here you have not just an idea, you have a practical solution. Those solutions include other kinds of services. Talk about what else this Opportunity Center brings.
Yeah, I mean, folks have an opportunity to come in there to Steve Oliver, who's the branch supervisor there, and his team to sit down without any judgment on good decisions financially in the past or not. They can come in and sit down and have a discussion about real life things in their family that include how much month is left at the end of the money.
Yeah.
And then looking for what to do about it because they're coming up short every month. Mm-hmm. And those kind of stresses in the family are huge. And we believe that there's a real chance to sit down and help folks resolve some of those issues. So when we are able to meet and listen non-judgmentally to individuals on what they've got in their income base, then we can look for ways to consolidate debt. Mm. We look for ways to repair credit. So if somebody has really poor credit, those are the folks that are going to get stuck with the highest interest rates. Well, it's really good to be able to see somebody that began with really poor credit who worked with us, see them improve their credit scores and go in and refinance loans for them at lower rates that puts more money in their pockets so that they have money that lasts all the way into the next month. And so there are real success stories like that that are going on. So sitting down at an individual level, we're able to provide that kind of understanding and bring about an understanding of what could be done with your finances. Then there's also a whole curriculum that's developed around financial literacy. And in partnership with the church, they're our planned financial literacy events where people will be invited to come. Smaller groups may be right there in the branch.
I see.
Larger groups may find themselves meeting across the street at the Bethel Baptist Church there. A forum where they can ask questions and get answers. And really gain an understanding of what it means to manage their money.
So that cooperative effort includes the church providing use of its facility, maybe even personnel involved. Envision Credit Union doing the same thing. So in that way, it isn't the burden of any one organization.
Right.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Bethel folks, I've met a great number of their people. They have some very dedicated people who are very genuine and very interested in serving one another. So, they step up to the plate and say, "Hey, come on, let's figure out how to bring about a better understanding. Use our facility. It's more public value that they've created in their church that we want to emulate in the Frenchtown Financial Opportunity Center, where it's not just a place to come in and sit down and." Cash a check or just get a loan, but to build a better understanding of how to manage your money and how to repair some decisions in the past and get out of patterns that are destructive. So a lot of public service going on there that's good stuff that will follow those individuals when they leave Tallahassee. You know, if they've developed a better understanding, they will go and be in a better spot elsewhere without us.
It's called the Frenchtown Financial Opportunity Center, and it is a Tallahassee success story in the making, from my humble observation. Our guest this morning, Michael Phillips, Vice President of Administration, FSU Credit Union, one of the partners in this. Michael, thank you for being our guest.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure.
Oh, more so mine. Thank you very much.
Folks, we love doing what we do, and glad that you're a part of it here each week.
Conversation with Michael Phillips, who at the time was serving as Vice President of Administration for FSU Credit Union, and giving us a little insight as to this Frenchtown Financial Opportunity Center, a conversation that we brought to you from back in 2016. And we will continue with more Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny right after the top of the hour here. Stay with me.
Jerry's Famous Cigar Shop offers front door service at both locations and plenty of outdoor seating at the Cary Forest Shop. Jerry's is committed to your safety during this pandemic, having sealed off the humidors to the public since March, which means the cigars are uncontaminated and ready to enjoy. To help our community, Jerry's is donating a portion of all Regina cigar sales to local food banks, with nearly $10,000 donated so far. Come see us at Jerry's Famous Cigar Shop, with two locations, on Scherer Road and Cary Forest Park.
Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Hi, I'm Tom Flanagan. You're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Welcome back to the second hour of Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, your humble host, bringing you stories from around the community, people who are instrumental in the formation and development and creation of some pretty nifty ideas. So in this first hour, we were talking about the Frenchtown Financial Opportunity Center, which, if you didn't get it, if you're just tuning in, or maybe you're just unfamiliar with the topic in general, it represents a cooperative effort between private and public, even faith-based organizations. And so with that, there was this concerted effort, we'd say, to try to make those sorts of services, checking accounts and loans and such, available to the Frenchtown community, and in a manner that was focused specifically on making such services more accessible, providing direct support to those who may be first time or opening up a checking account. And so with that, you see this light, a glimmer of hope, we'd say, a sort of repurposing of what Frenchtown really can be, what it was at one time. And here again, we've got Heritage Hub, the Frenchtown Farmers Market, and Kitchen Share, all of that going on. And we're really, I think, at the kind of ground floor of all that. I mean, think that, you know, the next couple of years, you're going to see not just the building of office centers and housing and such that you can drive through Frenchtown now, and it looks considerably different. The Renaissance Center itself was a massive contribution. But the question remains, too, and you can talk to a lot of different folks who've been a part of this community. Jim Bellamy is certainly one of those people. Shelley Gomez, another. How much of the, we'll call it the spirit, the character of that community can be preserved or may have already been lost? And so gentrification comes up often in those conversations around town. Gentrification being the sort of displacement of people and ideas and culture as culture goes, meaning, you know, habits and practices and sort of the interconnections among people, residents of, business owners in those neighborhoods. I'm really just the notion that people are no longer a part of that that they once were. And we've seen a bunch of that go on with the Gain Street development. Yeah, I mean, one colleague of mine said it's like they hired Disney to come in and just, you know, community in a box sort of approach, where it lost a lot of that sort of nitty gritty aspects of what was then, for the most part, a sort of self-defined, right? Meaning that people created for themselves this community out of their own personal experiences, artists and business owners and residents and such. And so it goes. And sometimes a community finds itself pushed back a bit from what was originally their home, their neighborhood, their community. Well, it's of concern because when you get right down to it, the people who, let's say, you know, have the most to gain, they tend to look at their own financial gains, or maybe their influence, their prominence, their power in a community. Maybe they tend to try to run the table a bit, or try to advance their own particular objectives, either as individuals or as a group of people. And so when it comes to representation, problems are abundant, and there's always plenty of analysis as to how the problem originated, what caused the downfall of a particular neighborhood or a zip code, or even just a population of people, a subpopulation. How is it these people then find themselves on the losing side, we'll say, whether that's economically or socially, politically? I mean, how then do we go about solving that problem? That's the rub, isn't it? And that's where the perspectives come in very strongly. You know, you think that the way to solve that problem is to create more government and empower more of those people within various governmental agencies to simply advance those programs that are designed to solve the problem. And there's a perspective there. Then you have those who say, well, no, the real issue is of how we empower individuals to create for themselves outcomes and not get in their way and not allow systemic or structural racism, certainly, to prohibit that or inhibit that in any fashion. So in other words, let's create an even playing field, a level playing field, an egalitarian or equitable approach. Everybody gets a fair shot. So then this business of the role of government, well, that's kind of where we're going to be listening to Michelle talk about some of the decisions she made back then, which arguably may have ended her political career. That's to be seen. Or maybe she just has other things that she'd rather do. She's also a college professor and has a great career there teaching for the students at Tallahassee Community College. And so, I mean, but she's certainly an influencer in our time. And I think you'll enjoy the conversation. I do have one quick announcement here regarding Leon County government, speaking of government at hand. And this comes by way of Rick Miner, Leon County Commissioner, and he's talking about the county's strategic plan. They were in session with their retreat, laying out a 5-year strategic plan recently, and his comment there. He says, as part of the day, the board received a community impact report on the Leon Cares program, which, of course, was helping fund local businesses. To date, Leon Cares is the largest aid program in the county's history, with over $62 million in federal funds provided to individuals and small businesses impacted by the coronavirus. So he refers to that and then talks further about their plans for the future. Not a whole lot of detail there, but they do have a five-year strategic plan that they're working, with the addition of 17 new or amended strategic initiatives for economy, environment, quality of life, and governance. More to be reported, I think, in weeks ahead. We'll try to dig in on that a little bit more for you. Folks, stay with me. I've got Michelle Ray Winkle-Vasalinda here in this next segment, so stay tuned.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks Radio.
And I'm Coach Sue Semrau.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help during this critical time of year, and the businesses sponsoring the Tallahassee Food Challenge want to remind each of us to take the challenge by making an additional contribution and donating food.
As the school year comes to an end, many children no longer have access to school-based food support programs. As a result, supplies run low, while the needs for assistance is even higher. Join us in giving generously during this critical time of need. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families across our community.
Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com to learn how you can help and where you can donate. Your donation will go directly to these charities that do so much to help the needs of so many.
Take the challenge. Fill a bowl.
Feed the hungry. Do it now. Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
It happens that from time to time, we spend these moments with you, my friend, discussing matters of greater intellectual value, perhaps, or certainly focus on topics of concern that may have something to do with how we live our lives, how we organize ourselves. And I mean, we love to talk about local activities and concerts and music and art and science and technology things going on in this town. And then it comes an occasion when we have somebody like Vincent Hunt, who was with us in the first hour, and our present guest, who take us aside for a moment. And it gives us a chance to talk about why we are doing the things that we do, and how, and in what manner are we preparing ourselves for whatever future we imagine. And so we've asked our good friend Michelle Ray Winkle-Vasalinda. She is representative, House representative for District 9 here in our community, to join us. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great and glad to be here.
And I'm going to continue to say Representative Ray Winkle-Vasalinda.
Even after November 8th?
I may, yes. Well, because isn't that protocol that you know, the right thing to do is you refer to someone's highest office?
You can, yes.
So always the governor.
Well, yes.
Speaker and such. That's kind of good manners. And I'm learning that. I mean, I'm not a very well-mannered person, so give me a break. Because, come on.
I used to go down the halls in the Capitol sometimes, and people, at the very beginning of my career, and people would say, Representative, so good to see you. And I'd look behind me.
It's like, well, Mr.
Cerny, and then I finally got used to it.
Well, so here you are once again, and we've snagged you because I thought on this occasion we have these topics at hand that are timely, in as much as we are embroiled in this national, I would say genuinely, a debate, but it at times feels more like a national brawl. And for many of us who perhaps are weary of that, for me it's been a matter of the question being begged. Is this unusual for us as a nation? Are we finding ourselves in these days in this kind of contest that it can get real, real nasty? And it seems like it's going to get nastier as we get down to the wire. And even then, after November 8th, will it somehow subside. I question that. I think that there's just so much discord about ideas and policy that we may see this go on for a while. Maybe that's not a bad thing, and that's why I need your help. Help me better understand where we are.
Oh, I think we can help each other. But you know, I think having the 40,000 foot up, level of looking at this right now can keep us a little bit calmer. We can take a look at and have some perspective. Has this happened before in our history? Are we so divided that we've never been as divided before, before the Civil War, that is? And can we find some places of unity? And what is new here? And what is shocking and stunning and all that sort of thing that just shakes us to our toes? But what is it that we can kind of come back to and have a touchstone and say, is this so unusual? And is it just presenting problems that we need to solve and that we need to have a new perspective and move forward?
And in fact, those problems are, in many ways, for our current time, much different than the problems that our parents faced, right? So when we look at disruption in the marketplace, you look at something like the advance of Uber or generally the advance of technologies. We had Vincent Hunt with us here in the first hour talking about all kinds of changes that are afoot. And his focus is on how we prepare for that future that isn't decades away. It may be a matter of a few years away, or it may actually be here in many ways, when Uber's talking about having self-driving cars. Well, what happens to all the taxi car drivers would be his question. Now, in relation to the general culture, we're seeing shifts in what we believe and what we hold dear. And those shifts have happened in the last, let's say, 40, 50 years, with everything from contraception to abortion to marriage, all these kinds of things that have been sort of the bastion, right? They've been the protected, not so much anymore. And those kinds of questions that come up in my time now among those people who are questioning those traditional values are disruptive. So a lot of people are finding themselves divided over those kinds of questions beyond the more immediate question of, well, how are you going to make a living?
Right. I think we kind of got to get to what's at the bedrock of all of it, you know, and so what are the principles that we hold dear as a nation? Because even with some of these problems that have popped up or technological advances and that kind of thing, what is the strain that runs through all of us that has made us resilient over the past more than 200 years? And so what are the things, okay, so when we're looking at big changes with Uber and maybe driverless cars, well, you know, what's really at the bedrock of all that? That's innovation and it's trying to do things better and competitive economics. I'm getting beyond principles here, but what's at the basis of all of it? Didn't the buggy whip makers have to change?
Make those changes, right.
And didn't they have to have a touchstone of something else, you know, to propel their families forward and to keep economic health within their families? And can't we look at some of the things that have made our nation great and have made us able to withstand changes and challenges as a nation, and then as families within this nation and as individuals within this nation, to keep moving forward and to keep us feeling a little bit calmer, a little bit less anxious than we are?
Talking with Michelle Raywinkle Vasalinda, our dear friend, and talking about this business of resilience, and you mentioned that, this idea that as changes occur and we grapple with those changes, whether as individuals or as a society, we have to come back to some guiding principles that help us navigate that, help us find our way. Folks, that is exactly why it's good to have people like Michelle here, because you know that I'm without guidance. I find myself so often, just sort of grappling with the right question to ask. But I will prevail, and I appreciate you staying with me. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks Radio.
And I'm Coach Sue Semrau.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help during this critical time of year. And the businesses sponsoring the Tallahassee Food Challenge want to remind each of us to take the challenge by making an additional contribution and donating food.
As the school year comes to an end, many children no longer have access to school-based food support programs. As a result, supplies run low, while the needs for assistance is even higher. Join us in giving generously during this critical time of need. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families across our community.
Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com to learn how you can help and where you can donate. Your donation will go directly to these charities that do so much to help the needs of so many.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So here we are. We're back with Michelle Raywinkle-Vasalinda, representative for the People's House in Florida, District 9. You keyed in on something I thought was interesting, and that was the constant rivalry and conflict and arguing and combat even that went on between John Adams
and Thomas Jefferson,
in the
election of 1800. I mean, if you know, I'm not a historian as such. I mean, we learned about these things in school, but I know enough to kind of go back and say, hey, wasn't there some crazy election in the 1800s?
Indeed.
And then go back and take a look at that. Their supporters were vile to one another, and the press was involved. And there's a lot of similarities between what's happening now and what happened in that election of 1800. Now, certainly, those were our founders of the country, Adams and Jefferson. But their supporters found ways to highly criticize one another in ways that would make you uncomfortable if you read some of the primary source materials and knew what they'd said. And so I think that we need to just have perspective. Now, you know, people would say, you know, Clinton and Trump are no, you know, Adams and Jefferson. I get that. But what I point to is the fact that the nation went through that as a very young nation. I mean, we were just in our infancy.
Yeah.
We had this really riled up election. And people sometimes call it a second revolution in some ways, some historians. And I think that we need to remember that we got through that. We got through that.
Yeah.
We had other great times as a nation. We have one of the things that I think separates us maybe as a nation. I am an exceptionalist with the United States. I think we're a grand place. Is that we do change, we do progress,
yeah.
We do adapt, we do strive to improve.
And is that one of the most characteristic aspects of resilience?
I think so.
The ability to make change.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And to look at new circumstances and the problems that are presented with new circumstances and to try to solve those and to try to get better and to say, what is that situation teaching me or teaching us? And move forward.
So if we are, and I happen to see the mayor, ex-mayor John Mark's wife, she's a therapist here in town, and she was on one of the news channels earlier this week talking about voter weariness, you know, and how you really just need to kind of take a break from all of it. You need to step away from social media, become embroiled in all of the back and forth. So maybe that's part of being resilient, is you step away and you go, you know, this is not the first time in our history that we've been at each other's throats about something. So let's agree on that part. And
yep.
By the way, we did get through it.
Yes.
Now, when you look at the current scene, do you find among us, and I ask you this as a legislator, because you've been in those back rooms, you've been in those hallways, where the fight for a given objective had to be met with a degree of compromise.
Oh, absolutely.
And you had to be willing to make deals.
Yep.
Right?
That's exactly what this nation is all about.
Yeah, you don't consider that a liability. That's
no.
an asset.
It's an asset in a country that has such diversity, or in a state that has such diversity, or in a district that actually has more diversity than people have ever given it credit for in some ways. You know, some of these, you know,
Tallahassee itself is a very diverse community.
Yes, yeah. And people have said, oh, Michelle, you know, it's all Democrat. It's all, you know, no, it's, yeah. There's different strains of Democrats. There's different. So anyway, but the point being is when you have diversity, you have to have compromise, or else you're going to have to resort to complete, being victorious over your opponent. Yeah. And I don't know whether we want to do that with one another in our own nation. So I think you have to be, you have to compromise. And frankly, in the marketplace of ideas, what somebody says over here and what somebody says over there, if you take a little bit from this and a little bit from that, usually you do end up with a better result.
Better solution. It reminds me of your telling me the anxiety you faced in trying to select colors for,
oh my goodness,
for your house.
Yes.
Right?
More anxiety than pressing a button at the in the legislature. And I don't want people to think the wrong thing. When you and I were talking about it, I know what I'm looking at in the legislature. I mean, I have an idea. My principles, in some ways, are set. Uh-huh. I know what I'm looking for and what I want to bring forward. I'm very certain, and I don't want to sound like I have hubris in that. I just, you know, my principles of what I'm looking for, my ethical principles, are pretty set, thank God, right?
Yeah.
There's new facts that are brought to each legislator, but you put it through that screen of,
yeah,
what are my principles? What are the values of my community, too? How do I represent my community well? Mm. So I know that set, and I know that set of things to be looking at. But when I'm looking at colors for my house, I don't know enough about design, or I don't know enough about what color selection means for that or the other thing, and I don't know what sort of rubric to put it in.
I got you.
So I was stressed about it until I sort of thought about that. And I said, why you're getting stressed about this is because you don't know enough about color selection. Mm-hmm. And you don't. So I did a little bit of mm-hmm. learning about it. I didn't have a lot of time. But I then calmed down and picked my colors. Mm-hmm. And we're just going to say, go for it.
That's
yeah, and
it.
I consulted some folks, my family, who are going to have to come to the home. And so on. So anyway, but the point is, I think learning, knowing about, you know, your the subject matter in which you're trying to make decisions, and also having principles. Having principles, and to me, because I teach an applied ethics course at Tallahassee Community College, uh-huh. and I have for, oh, I don't know, it's going to be 16 or 17 years now. And what we do in that class is principled-centered decision making. And one of the things I tell my students is it saves time. It's not only a better way to look at decision making, but it saves time and stress, because if you know what you are looking to do and what's important to you, what principles you're trying to support, then things become easier than if you're all over the board.
It seems to me there are those folks who find that idea of principle-based decision making to be very unattractive. You know, they don't want us to go back to a set of principles. Rather, they and I think in some respects they're disingenuous, because they themselves are relying on a set of ideas, if you want to call them principles, things they believe. I think we all do. I think we look for those roots, those connections within ourselves, and we feel those things. I mean, there's an emotional part of that for us,
right?
Regardless. And so to decry one person's principles over another, to say, well, you're just being old-fashioned, or you're relying on outdated ideas. Well, what are you relying on?
What are you grabbing from? What are you relying? You know, I read a book by Dr. Martin Seligman on authentic happiness, and there was a study that the Templeton Foundation had done and underwritten, and it was setting a certain number of scientists of different disciplines out to look at 2,000 years of wisdom literature from all cultures all around the world and for the past 2,000 years, and to kind of distill what were the important principles that you could find in healthy societies everywhere in the world over that length of history.
Right.
And they did distill some things. And I think it was a very successful study in as much as, you know, if you follow the Bible, there are principles obviously in the Bible that I hold dear. Somebody else may not. But are there similar principles in something
in other literature
and other traditions?
Yeah.
And I think that's important to take a look at that and to sort of look through that lens into what's going on now. And I think it can keep people less anxious, less exhausted, and sort of preparing for November 9th.
There we are, my friend, looking for that common ground and talking about resilience and resiliency in the face of changing landscapes, hurricane force winds that may be blowing at
right?
the time. We have Michelle Raywinkle Vasalinda with us, and we're having a good time. Hope you are. Stay with me. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Super Signs. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic, you know, something clever, but that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Super Signs is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Super Signs. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Super Signs does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs, too. So for your business or your birthday party, Super Signs is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Super Signs is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Hello, brothers and sisters in Radio Land. This is blues guitarist Jerry Thigpen. Don't you move, because this is Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking with Michelle Raywinkle Vasalinda, and that's what I'm hearing you say, Michelle, that if you'll kind of get past some of the heat, get down to where there is room for agreement. And you found this a lot going through the work that you've done as a legislator, when you might have been at odds on particular policy piece, but you found yourself in agreement with others in principle.
In principle. Yeah. And also, you know, the idea of respecting each other, I think, was pretty profound, I thought, in the Florida legislature. I had a conversation with Representative Dennis Baxley, who's running for the Senate now,
right.
And we talked for about 30 minutes, I guess it was Tuesday, and we had a great conversation, and we talked about how, you know, he never wanted bad policy, I never wanted bad policy, and sometimes we agreed and sometimes we disagreed, but the idea is we all, both of us, cared about the state of Florida, empowering Floridians, making sure that, you know, the state was going forward. Did we sometimes disagree about what that looked like or specifics about that? Yes, and thank God we did, because then I think you get a better product. If I'm able to look at his bill and say, hey, you know what, Representative, this is, I would either do this differently or maybe not at all. And then he says to me, well, if I was going to do it anyways, and it's going to happen, how would you feel more comfortable about that?
Yeah.
What could I do to make you more comfortable? So in the compromise, in my opinion, is a better solution. And I think, and I really came to love all my colleagues. I mean, really, because we went through those battles together.
Yeah.
And I think we all had a heart for trying to help the state do better and the and Floridians do better. And it brings me to that last question in the debate with Clinton and Trump, this last debate. Uh-huh. And that last question was so profound and so wonderful.
Yeah.
And I think it gets us to November 9th, the day after the election.
Yeah.
And I think that's important.
And you referenced this earlier, the combat that went on between John Adams and Thomas Jefferson, famous rivalry. And yet, I think it can be said that they both had the welfare of the nation at heart.
Absolutely.
And came at it from different perspectives and battled over those perspectives all the time. When you find yourself either as an individual or representing a collective and you are embroiled in some kind of battle, what do you do personally? How do you get through that, I guess?
I think I try to look at the other person or the other entity and try to say, what about this person or entity is trying to do the same thing I'm doing, but maybe approaching it in a different way? Mm-hmm. And if I can look at that person as someone who of good heart and give them that benefit of the doubt, mm-hmm. and then say, okay, I don't agree with how they're approaching this problem, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. You know, if I was Donald Trump and looking at Hillary Clinton and saying, I don't approve of how she's approaching working with Aleppo or whatever and on that problem. Mm-hmm. And she says the same thing. But do each of those people, and I don't, you know, do they have a heart and a love in some measure for the country, for the people that they're going to represent? Mm. Can you find that?
Yeah.
And if you can find that place and start from there, then for me, it brings me to a place of having patience, even love for the other person.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to be Pollyannish, but that's how I dealt with some of my colleagues in the legislature.
So my question is, can we expect that of ourselves in the current realm, in this current time, during these very critical moments, when for the last 30, 40 years or better, we have abandoned, we have walked away from decency? I mean, it's in our film, our music, our literature, heck, our TV shows, our TV commercials have brought to us a new set of rules about sex, vulgarity, profanity, marriage, all of it. And I sit back and I think, if my father or mother were sitting in the room right now and that came up on the TV screen,
mm-hmm.
I would be grabbing for the remote and I would be
right.
embarrassed.
No, absolutely.
I would be horrified.
Absolutely.
And they would be running over to turn off the TV.
I'm horrified by a lot of stuff I see on regular TV.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
my point is, okay, so we as a people, we've been feasting on this, right? And now we have two people and we're just so annoyed with the fact that they're at each other and they're using every tactic they can to attack one another. But
having been a politician,
isn't that kind of what we've been entertained with? I mean, it's Bruce Willis, it's, you know, it's John McClane and Die Hard. It's all over the place where
all sorts
of
right.
I mean, all of these superheroes that break the rules of decency and protocol, I mean, they're vigilantes, right? But by God, they're getting the job done. They're getting the bad guys.
Right. And I think that we need to remember, you know, Montesquieu said, you get the government you deserve. I mean, you know, that is, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but that is basically what he said. And I think we have to stop blaming the candidates, the parties, and look at ourselves. Look at each. What have we contributed to this milieu, this brawl? And how, because we have, each one of us has a modicum of responsibility, and each one of us can start changing ourselves and what we expect. One of the things as an elected official that I knew and on campaigns, and I was never good at, was throwing red meat to the base. That is a term, and it is something that some politicians are really good at, and that is getting the base out there when you know you're going to get them riled up about one thing or another. And I that was not something I felt comfortable with, but it is something that people are demanding. The base are there are people out there, Americans, Floridians, you know, whatever, and they're demanding a certain sense of outrage, a certain sense of entertainment, a certain sense of outsized critique of the other, whoever that other is. And so I think we have to look within ourselves and say, maybe we shouldn't be that base that demands the red meat. Maybe we shouldn't be the lions in the lion's den. Maybe we should have another way of looking at this. Yes. And then I think we'll get something different.
Are we not entertained? Well, folks, we find ourselves engaged in this conversation so many times with Michelle because, honestly, this is one of the things I think that you do quite well for me, in that you are able to help sort through and divide between, you know, form and substance. And even though it seems we're divided in both ways, we're trying to decide what we want to do, and then we're trying to decide who gets to decide.
Right.
We're doing all
that's
that
exactly
simultaneously.
Right. Yeah.
And for that reason, I think, folks, certainly I would encourage you to stay plugged into the conversation. Don't walk away, even though you might want to take a break from Facebook just so you can calm down a bit. You need to stay engaged in the conversation. We have this good, loyal servant of the public, Michelle Raywinkle Vasalinda, our guest, helping us do that. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's
a pleasure always having you with us. Folks, that's what I've got for you today. We are the production of Spatterwork Media and Entertainment here in Tallahassee, coming to you from the studios of Moose Magnificat, Tallahassee's radio to the world, online at moosemagnificat.com, playing all local musicians, their original songs, 24/7. That is Moose Magnificat Radio. Carl Cerny is our executive producer. I'll be looking for you again next week. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me.
Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.